like to turn back to the passage that I read to you this morning there in John chapter 21. For those Bible readers in a congregation, you know this experience was after the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. In fact, he had already appeared to the disciples twice. In John chapter 20, he appeared to 10 of the apostles. Thomas was not present for that encounter. And of course, the disciples told Thomas about it, and he said, "Until I put my fingers in the nail prints of his hand, and I put my hand in his side, I will not believe." He barely gets those words out of his mouth, and the Lord appears in the upper room where the doors was locked, and he just walked right through the door. And he told Thomas, "Behold my hands, and behold my side, and reach forth thy finger." And of course, Thomas declared, "My Lord and my God." He didn't need to touch the Lord when he beheld him. He knew it was the Lord, and he was satisfied that that was the Lord before him. The Lord responded that he was blessed because he had seen and believed. He said, "But blessed are they which have not seen yet believe." And here in John chapter 21, we'll find the last encounter the Lord has with the disciples before he will ascend back into glory. And this one, another time, is surrounding the disciples out fishing. The Lord was a better fisherman than these fishermen were. As I turn back to Luke chapter 5, and the Apostle Peter and the other disciples were on a boat, and the Lord says, "Launch forth," and he sat in a boat and began to teach those on the land. When he had finished speaking, he told the disciples, "Cast your net on the right side." And Peter says, "Master, we have toiled all the night long, and we've caught nothing." Now, I love Peter's response. He says, "But at thy word, I'll let down the nets." In other words, we don't really see the point. We've done it all night long and we hadn't taken a thing. But if you say so, we'll go ahead and let the nets down. And so they let down the nets. And if you remember the story, because they put it in the right side and the Lord was there, they began to pull forth out of that water. It says their net enclosed a great draught of fishes, that the nets began to break. They had to call friends over, and they filled their boat and another boat, so that the boats began to sink with a great draught of fishes that the Lord caught for them. I don't remember an occasion, I may be mistaken, that the Lord himself ever caught a fish, but I see several times when he blessed than they did so. But there was a lot of camp meetings and gospel meetings in the Bible around fish supper. We sometimes I've been asked, is it right for Little Union to have these fish suppers on Friday night to draw people? Well, the Lord didn't mind. He fed 5,000 on one occasion, 4,000 another. And here in John 21, the very last thing he does with his disciples is has a fish fry before he goes back to glory. So I'm all for fish fries, and as long as the brethren are willing to fry them, I'm willing to eat them and come together and then worship after it. Anyway, notice, if you will, that these disciples do not recognize it's the Lord. He's on the shore, and he tells the disciples, "Do you have any meat?" And they answered, "No." And he said to them, "Cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find." Both times, back in Luke 5 and here, he says, "You cast on the right side." In other words, that tells me they've been casting on the wrong side. Here he says, "You cast on the right side." And we find out they caught 153 fish. Well, as they come into land, the Lord already has fish and bread there for their supper, their breakfast, and he says, "You come and dine." Notice we see in verse 7, it says, "Therefore that disciple," after they began to draw in the fish, "therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved," that's John, "said to Peter, it is the Lord." I'd like to speak just a few moments on that phrase, "it is the Lord." In our experience in the year 2015, we can testify over and over, it was the Lord. Usually on the fourth Sunday of October, I try to speak to the church about the year that we've had. That marks the anniversary of when I accepted the call to be your pastor. This year, for whatever reason, didn't do so, so I'd like to take just a few minutes this morning and kind of give a recap of our year and show how it was the Lord that has sustained us to this day. The Apostle Paul would say in Acts chapter 26 to Agrippa, "Having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day, witnessing both to small and to great, none other things than those things that Moses and the prophets did say should come." So Paul says, the whole reason that I'm able to testify to you, Agrippa, is because I attained the help of God. And because God helped me, I continue to this day. Over and over throughout this year, we've obtained the help of God, and it was the Lord. I've already mentioned a couple times through this year so many experiences of this year. I don't know of a harder year that I've encountered as a pastor of a church than the year that we had in 2015. I've been a pastor now for about 12 or 13 years, and this one far exceeds any year that I've ever encountered of griefs and troubles and afflictions. And most of those were not in my own life, but were in the lives of the congregation here. And the Apostle Paul tells us in the book of Romans that we're to weep with them that weep, and we're to rejoice with them that rejoice. And when a body loves one another, and a pastor loves a body, and he sees that body going through various afflictions and troubles, his heart is moved and grieved, just as their heart is moved and grieved. And I can go back into my memory of this year and begin to recount some of the things that we went through. And I'm not going to go ahead and mention those because it just gets very emotional. But over and over we saw the Lord deliver. And over and over we saw after hardship that the grace of the Lord sustained us. And the grace of the Lord held us up. And the grace of the Lord brought us to this day. So that we could declare just like John did to Peter, it is the Lord. It wasn't by our own strength. It wasn't by our own means. It wasn't by our own abilities that we've been able to hold together this year. Well, I believe that through this year, we've drawn closer to the Lord Jesus Christ as individuals and as a body. I believe that through this year, even though it's been very difficult, it's drawn us tighter together as a family. And it's drawn us in our love to one another. And it's made us lean upon the Lord in maybe ways we didn't lean upon Him before. And it required of us to dig down deep and to really find what we were made of and to find out just exactly the Lord's grace and His faithfulness. But also I've seen the faithfulness of God's people in prayer and ministry one to another. But even when I saw God's people here in His congregation reach out and touch one another, I knew it was the Lord. I've been thankful over and over and over to just stand back and watch and see the Lord's hand move in a mighty way. I do want to mention one thing that we have encountered this year. Back in the month of August, Brother Gary and Sister Danielle lost their child. And if you recall, the next morning, I spoke a message that was really a turning point here in our body. And I was very thankful that it was, not for any benefit of me or any glory to me, but for the Lord. As I went home from that funeral that day, there was a verse that struck my mind, and it's been my banner verse ever since that day. And I hope it will be the banner verse and motto verse of this church, not just for this year, but the future years to come. When the Apostle Paul declared in Romans chapter 8, he says, "Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us." Notice the verse tense is there. He said, "Nay, in all these things." He just listed a lot of afflictions that God's people encounter in this life. He didn't say these things conquer us. He said, "Nay, but in spite of that," or contrary wise, "in all these things." Notice, not after they're over with. Not after they've passed and gone. Not after we've gone through the storm, we can finally say, "Well, we conquered that one." He said, "Nay, in all of these things," in the very middle of it, when the storm is raging, he says, "In all these things we are, not that we shall be at some future time." Now we recognize and know that the day has come that all of our troubles are going to pass away, and that we're going to have victory in the Lord Jesus Christ. It'll be eternal. But I'm thankful that that verse, Paul wrote it the way that he wrote it, and I'm thankful that the Holy Ghost inspired it the way He inspired it. Because before I had that verse strike me in the power that it did, I felt conquered over and over and over again. But since that time, I haven't felt so conquered. And every time I start to feel that way, I just go right back to that verse. And it's helped me every time since that something's difficult come up. Because Paul once again says, "Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors." Why? Because the Lord Jesus Christ loves us. John chapter 13 verse 1 says, "Having loved His own that were in the world, He loved them unto the end." And it's a conquering love. It's a love that brings victory. It's a love that brings power. It's a love that brings deliverance. It's a love that brings assurance. It's a love that testifies to us that our troubles here are not worthy to be compared to the glory that shall be revealed in us. That there's a brighter day ahead. That there's a happier time in store for God's people. That even though we may presently weep and mourn, that there's a day of rejoicing ahead. that there's a time approaching that all of us together shall unite with the Lord Jesus Christ in glory. And at that day, it will all be well. It will all be okay. It will all be peace. So as we began 2016 in just a few days, we don't know exactly what's in store. Have no idea what to expect this coming year. Don't even know what to expect tomorrow. But the Bible is clear. Think not on the things of tomorrow. And this is why. He says, for the thoughts of tomorrow will take care of themselves. Sufficient to the day is the evil thereof. That means you've got enough trouble today to just worry about today. And here's why. Because you've only got enough grace to handle what you're going to face today. Tomorrow you're going to have a new trouble, but that's okay. His mercies are new. His faithfulness is great. His mercies are new every morning. And so when you face tomorrow's trouble, he'll be there tomorrow. And the next day, all the way through this next year. And so as we look forward to the year to come, we recognize there's going to be ups and downs, highs and lows, times of joy, times of pain, times maybe of ingathering and losing, time to keep, time to get, time to lose, time to mourn, time to dance, time to weep, and all those things. Then all of that, I hope that we will keep in memory that no matter what comes our way, that with the Lord's help, we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. I don't know what's coming ahead. I do know the Lord knows, and I'm satisfied with that. Because I'm also satisfied that He's been faithful up to this point. And knowing that He's been faithful up to this hour, He will also be faithful in the future hour. And knowing that truth is sufficient for me, and I'm satisfied with that, and just simply trust that He will lead and guide. We don't know exactly what's going to transpire, for instance, in Brother Adam's health or in the health of others. But we know this, the Lord already knows, and the Lord is already there. He's not bound by time like we are. He's not limited in knowledge like we are. But thankfully, He knows all. He sees all. And He'll also prepare us for all. But it is incumbent upon us to lean upon Him and draw close to Him. If we draw close to Him, the Bible says He will also draw nigh unto us. And I believe that we have done that this year. And as we end this year, I believe we're stronger by the grace of God than we were at this time last year. I believe as a body, we're more united. I've seen more love displayed, more kindness displayed, more desire to help one another and help others as well. I've seen a growing desire to people minister to one another and to minister in our community, but also to try to spread the gospel. I have more opportunities myself to even do that. And I'm very thankful that the Lord has moved in that way and brought us closer together. Many times in times of trouble and affliction, it can cause heartache and grief, and maybe people splinter apart. But I'm thankful to see a body that just drew closer together. And you know how we did that? Because we drew closer to the Lord Jesus Christ. We couldn't have drawn closer together unless we had drawn closer to Him. And that's all a testimony that it was the Lord. And thankfully, He is still very active in this body. He is still very present in our worship. He's still very much active in our lives. And praise be to His name that He has not forsaken us. And He has made that promise. And I like to hold to it. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Paul said in Philippians chapter 3, he says, brethren, I count not myself having apprehended, but this one thing I do. He says, putting those things behind. In other words, I'm not going to look backwards. He says, I press toward the mark of the high callings of God in Christ Jesus. Paul says, this year's gone, this time's gone, that experience, we've got to look forward. And we're going to look forward and move forward and keep trying to serve the Lord day by day and week by week. All right, before we go further in the service and call Brother Michael up, Brother Bobby, if you would, I'd like you to lead us in prayer. And after we do that, I'd like to turn to hymn number 426. Brother Bobby, please.